Welcome to Teacher Tales, where we dive into real-life stories and unforgettable moments from classrooms everywhere. I'm Glenn Bryan, and each week I'll bring you heartwarming, hilarious, and sometimes downright unbelievable tales from teachers who've seen it all. Let's jump in. Welcome to
Teacher Tales.
I'm joined today by a longtime coach and employee of Morgan County, Limestone County, been all over. Paul Wilson joins me today, and I'm very happy to have him. Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of how you got into teaching, the people that were instrumental in getting you started teaching and that kind of thing.
Okay. I went to school at Danville High School, proud graduate, class of 1984. And there were three teachers at Danville that I would say, I don't know at the time when I was in school, I'm not sure that I can't tell you that I said, hey, I want to be a teacher. I do know that I said, I want to be involved in sports. And I felt like that coaching, I wanted to do coaching. And of course, as I got to thinking about it in high school, you need to be a teacher as well as a coach. But the three that influenced me the most would be Carolyn Fleming. She was my senior English teacher. I might have had her in junior year. I thought she was a very good teacher. She also started the Scholars Bowl program at Danville, and I loved Scholars Bowl. I really got into
it. Just because you were smart.
Well, thank you. I guess I just thought I was good looking. Maybe you and I are both right, but we digress. I really got involved in that, and she cared enough about me on my senior year. She worked it out. How she did it, I don't know, but she worked it out where I got the chance to meet Pat Dye. He was a football coach at Auburn at the time, and she arranged it where I went to the spring football game and got to be with him that day. And that meant a lot to me that, you know, she showed she cared. So she was a factor. Gary Walker, I know I had him for junior and senior year, history, and then government economics. Now, Mr. Walker and I probably differ on a lot of things politically. We probably differ. But he was a very good teacher. What I learned from him was be passionate about your job. He was very passionate about his job. And he did also coach, but I never viewed him as a coach that was a teacher. I viewed him as a teacher that was a coach, and that's what I wanted to be. But he was very instrumental in me choosing to be. And in fact,
and a fine man.
I
don't know Miss Fleming, but I do know Gary Walker.
He's a good,
great guy.
He is. And when I got my first job at Southern Academy, private school in Greensboro, Alabama, which, by the way, for those that don't know, in fact, if you do know, it's still the same. It is the catfish capital of Alabama.
Uh-uh.
Indeed it is. Southern Pride, I don't know if it still is, but Southern Pride Catfish was that headquartered there, or
processing plant or something along those lines.
Something along that line. This may be the first of a few mini strokes that I'm having right now. I don't know. but anyway, they were there, and but he gave me some textbooks that I could use. And then I would say Carolyn Marshall, without a doubt. And she taught. If I had her for English, it would have been the 9th or 10th grade years. She taught humanities. She also became the school counselor. And her son was one of the best friends that I had in school. But she, when you talk about people that really care. I can give you example after example. I'm fixing to give you one of how she cared for others. For me, she was like a second mother. I can remember when my dad, he was a Methodist preacher, and we had just moved from Bassham Methodist to Oak Ridge. And we happened to be moving at the same time he was going to have open heart surgery. Now, we were about to turn, I have a twin brother, by the way, Joseph is his name. we were about to turn 16 in October, I guess it was. So this would be in June, and our older brother Tim was moving to New York. He didn't need his car, so we were going to get his car. I want to say it was a Buick, it's like a Sabre or something along those lines.
Beautiful car.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Women just, whew.
You have to have four doors.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And so we had gotten the car, and if you're familiar with Oak Ridge Methodist Church, it's there's sort of like a loop around the church. You could drive. I don't know if that's Forest Chapel Road, Norris Mill, but it goes from, at the time, it was Granny Lane's Grocery, and it connects with Norris Mill. You turn right, you go up that road, and you turn right, you're on Vaughn Bridge, and you turn right again. And so we could drive. He said, you can drive that loop all you want to, but do not get off that road. Yes, sir. Well, you know what happened. And as soon as they backed him out, I think I got behind them on the way to the hospital. As they were going to Birmingham, Joseph and I, we were driving everywhere. But anyway, one night, it was a Wednesday night, the Jeffersons were fixing to come on, and I was thirsty. I thought, you know, I think I'll drive to All Reds and get me something to drink. Even though Granny Lane's was right there.
Yeah, yeah. I had to drive past the store and go to the store.
To go,
because it was more about driving than it was.
Yes, it was. It was more about freedom.
Yeah. And Aldridge had, I mean, they had real cold drinks.
They did. They did. They did. Very certainly coldest in Morgan County. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so I'm driving down Vaughn Bridge Road, and, you know, there's old Vaughn Bridge Road, which I guess you could call the shortcut. So I take the shortcut, and I'm just cruising along, and all of a sudden, I don't know if you've ever had life gets in slow motion. I've had several slow motion events. And as I would tell my kids at school, when you have a slow motion event, that means your life is, that's a very changing moment. So all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, why is life going in slow motion right now? And why is there silverware flying in the car? And then why am I, bam? So I hit in the ditch. And it was where the Sparkman ladies, it's right in the curve.
Oh, yeah.
And they're coming out with their walkers. And I'm sitting there, and it's like, I feel like I'm in a cartoon, like I'm Wile E. Coyote. So I'm sitting there, I just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I'm good. So I get out, and I look, and I thought, okay, we just back this joker up, and we get out of here. And they come in, are you okay? Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. And then one of them said something that said, would you like for us to call the police? And I said, no, I don't think that'll be necessary. I didn't have a driver's license. I had nobody in the car with me. I said, could we call Carolyn Marshall? So we called Miss Marshall. She came up. I'll never forget it. She gets out of the car. She goes, are you okay? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, have the police been called? I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, if they show up, because Bill was with her, she said, we're going to say Bill was driving. And I looked at her. I said, no, ma'am. And she said, yeah, we're going to say Bill was driving. I said, we can't, Miss Marshall, we can't do that. She said, Paul, Bill's got his license. You don't. It's okay. And I said, and of course, I thanked her. I said, Miss Marshall, I can't do that. But that just shows you the kind of, not that they were wanting to break the law.
So did the police ever show up?
The police never showed up. Who did was John, the late John Harold Vest. He had Vest Body Shop. Randy is his son.
Yeah,
Randy's.
Yeah.
And so, we had just moved to Oak Ridge. This is a great part of the story. And so John Harold gets there, and he's looking at it, and he's, yeah, we can get that out. And so they get the car out. He tells me, he said, look, we're going to see your mom and dad at the hospital tomorrow. He said, I'll tell your mother. And he said, when your dad's able to take the news, we'll let him know. But he said, I'll take care of it. So I said, yes, sir. So fast forward, that was on a Wednesday. I didn't get to see the Jeffersons episode, by the way.
It was a rerun.
It was. I'm sure George was angry.
Yeah.
So anyway, whoever I don't know who preached that Sunday, but whoever did, they must have done a heck of a job. Because now, me and Jesus, we were acquaintances at that time. But I don't think we were buddies.
Yeah, knew of him.
Yeah, I knew of him and what he was about.
Yeah.
Mother was home. So when I walked in the door, I thought, I'm just telling her the whole story. And I looked at Mother. She'd just come out of the bathroom. I looked at her. I said, Mother, I just want you to know that, you know, I had a wreck. And she looked at me, her eyes got this big, and she goes, "You too?" John Harold had told her that Joseph had had the wreck. And I thought, Jesus, this is the first time in my life I've ever decided to be honest. And what? Why, Jesus? Am I modern day Job? Is this my land, my family being taken from me? Because Joseph would have denied it. And he said, "Shut up, boy, don't blame it on your brother." But they did. There were so many things that she just, I mean, she loved, Miss Marshall loved her students like her own. And they were, all three were very influential in me being a teacher.
So did you always know that you wanted to be a teacher, like from right out of high school and then go straight to college to do that? Or was there, was there another something that pulled at you before you became a teacher?
I'll go ahead and tell you how many hours I had at Calhoun. I had 135.
You were a career student.
Yes, I could.
You
got my
Calvin PhD.
Yes, I did. I did. What I originally wanted to do was be in sports broadcasting. I knew I loved sports, and that was radio was my big thing. And I was friends with a guy that worked at WAJF, which was AM 1490. Robert Jackson's his name. He goes, you don't want to do this. You don't make any money.
Pays terrible.
Said, you have to sell advertising. I said, I can't sell needles to drug addicts. I mean, I can talk a blue streak, but I can't sell anything. And, but I had wanted to be in mass communications. And, I mean, I looked in the mirror and knew I had a face for television. but I thought, you know, I don't want to do, I just thought you got on the radio, played records for 4 hours, taught sports for 4 hours, called it a day. And that's not what it was about. Mm-hmm. So I decided to change my major and I went into computer programming because Mike Hagigi. Now, do you know Mike Hagigi?
I don't know him.
He was as Southern sounding. That last name would make you think he was from a foreign land. he was from... Oh, it was the same town that Yan Cowart. Yan Cowart was a center at Auburn in the 80s. It's the same town he's from. I think it's Galleon. It's around Demopolis. Anyway, Mike Hagigi taught computer information systems. And I had him for that and loved him. Great guy, I thought. And this was back when.
It was still a baby.
Yeah, and it was all zeros and ones. It may still be zeros and ones, but there's more to it. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I'm not going to say the name of the teacher that
encouraged you.
Well, people say, like, she crushed my, or he crushed my dreams. Nobody crushes, nobody causes you to fall out of love with something you choose, but they push you that way.
Yeah.
She pushed me that. She was my basic programming teacher. I couldn't stand her. So I changed to that. I was going to major in PE. And then I saw you had to take rhythm and dance, and I can't dance, and you have to take swimming, and I can't swim. I'm not. So there went PE. And so I got to thinking, what did you like about school? Really not much. But what would you think you could teach? I thought, well, I like history. And so that's how I chose. And I was going to choose history. And I Mr. Walker, I'm sure he wasn't the only one, but I know he told me this. He said, don't major in history because then that's all
you teach. Yeah, that's all you teach.
Major in social science.
And then you can teach psychology and all those other things.
And you may want to teach U.S. history, but you get your foot in the door. And so that's what I decided to do. And of course, at Calhoun, you just get your basics. I've got to tell this story. This is a good story. one of the classes I had to take was biology. And Miss Smith was the teacher. Miss Smith was a...
Now, we're still at UCLA?
Yes, we're still at UCLA. Yeah. Yes.
That's the University of Calhoun alongside the airport, for those of you that don't know.
Now, Miss Smith, I will describe her as a portly woman and who loved Hardee's. she had a big green car that was about a mile long, and the back half mile was full of Hardee's bags. And she would bring her dogs.
Think I had the same teacher.
She would bring her dogs to the lab and wash them. Well, which has nothing to do with this story. Yeah. But I had her for biology, and it was one that had a closed, I guess you would call it a closed lab. It wasn't an open lab. And that meant that you met at a certain time. Yes. So ours was 1 to 2 on Friday. And she, of course, she announced, if you miss there, you get a 0 for that day. I'll take no excuses, because whatever excuse I take, somebody's going to come up with one that's almost as good. And so if I take one, I got, and she said, I'm not going to take any. And at the time, I was, when about school, my grades, I was just along for the ride, and what I got, I thought that would be the Lord's will. And so I wasn't too concerned.
Didn't understand the GPA.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, no bearing on anything going forward.
No.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, if I miss one, I get it. I just won't miss one. Well, the first one was on the parts of the microscope. You had to name the parts of the microscope. She got up there and she, of course, described the microscope. And so when you got up there, she would point to 5, and I think you had to name, it may have been 5 out of 5. I know it was at least 4 out of 5. So anyway, I did that one. Went on about my business. Well, the next week, father had a funeral he had to preach, and it was on that Friday. Of course, we only had one car, and I couldn't go to the lab, which didn't bother me at all. I thought 9 out of 10. I mean, I'm the guy in student orientation. You could contract for your grade.
Yeah.
I contracted for a C.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
They said, we've never had anybody contract for a C. I said, you ain't had me before.
And I think I'm just smart enough to make it.
Yes. Of course, if you were an A, you couldn't miss. I thought, well, I might miss a couple. Yeah, so that's just, anyway.
May as well shoot for the stars.
Yes. And so I thought, well, that's okay. So anyway, fast forward a couple of weeks later, we're waiting for a class to get out of that classroom. It was Monday or Tuesday. It wasn't a lab day. And Miss Smith came walking up. And she goes, Wilson, why have you been missing labs? And I thought, she's kidding. And so came in, put my books down. I said, Miss Smith, I haven't missed but one lab. Oh, no, you've missed 3. I said, no, ma'am, I haven't. I've just missed 1. It was the second one. She goes, you missed the first 3. I said, no, ma'am. So the first one was the parts of the microscope. And she got up there and you pointed to them. And I told her what she pointed to the order that she pointed to it. I said, you told a joke about a lady in a blue dress. This was not Bill Clinton time. It was another. I said, you told a joke about a lady in a blue dress. I said, then I got up there and I named the parts of the microscope. She goes, no, you did. I said, yes, ma'am, I did. I said, you can ask anybody in here. And she looked at me and she goes, I don't care what these people say. I've got you down for a 0 the first week, the second week, and the third week, and that's going to stay. I looked at her. I walked to my desk, picked my books up, walked out, went to see Randy Parker. Do you know Randy Parker?
I'm not.
Wonderful guy. He's a Tennessee fan, but hey, you know, it's America. You can.
Yeah.
You don't have to make the right choice.
There's handicapped spots in front of every building.
Yeah, yes. And so I'm telling him the story. He goes, what'd you just tell me you did? I said, I walked out of her class. He goes, oh, that was bad. I said, so? He goes, she didn't like that. I said, well, I don't like her. He said, well, let me talk to her. I said, okay. So he goes and he talks to her. And then it was the next day, I think it was, because it met Monday through Thursday. I'm standing there and she goes, Wilson. And I saw that across the hall, that was the lab doors open. I thought, I know where this is headed. To the lab. So we walk in the lab and there was the microscope. And she goes, name the parts of the microscope. And I said, no, ma'am. She goes, name the parts of the microscope. No, ma'am. I said, Miss Smith, I know what you said. And I said, no. She goes, I'm giving you another chance. I said, that's exactly why I won't do it. I don't need another chance.
Yeah.
I said, I did it the first time. I'm not lying to you. I missed the second date. I was here for the third date. I was here for the first date. If you want to believe me and give me a 10 out of 10, that's fine. If you give me zeros, that's fine. But I said, we're not walking out here thinking you gave a liar opportunity to get a grade. And she goes, you either name the parts of the microscope or you get out. I picked my books up. I walked out. I told Mr. Parker, Dr. Parker, I said, I just dropped class. And he said, but you don't have one more quarter here. I said, yes, sir. You have to take it the next quarter. I said, it's fine. So next quarter comes around and he called me in his office. He said, Miss Smith's the only one teaching it. I said, I don't care. I'll take her again. He goes, you don't understand. If she recognizes you, she'll throw you out. I said, can she do that? He said, well, I said, well, I'll just go in there. I said, I'll keep my mouth shut. So I went in there. She didn't know who I was. She never said a word to me. I got a B in the class.
Anyway. All right.
But anyway, that's we'll fast forward. So I had, like I said, decided to be in history and finished at Calhoun, went to Athens. By the time I got to Athens, I don't know if it was maturity or what, probably or what, but I was ready for to get through with school and to, and had come to, in fact, I can't believe I ever said this, but Dr. Murphy said to me and my brother, he goes, y'all are working too hard. Said, nobody would believe you. Got out at Athens.
And what year did you start teaching?
My first year of teaching would be the fall of 1990. So this was July of 89. Got a call in August from Dr. Tucker. Said, I've got an interview. There's a job at Athens High School. School had just started. There's a job at Athens High School. They've made another class, and they need a teacher. And I think it was three or four classes that you would be teaching, but they needed another teacher unit. And he said, I recommended you and your brother go for the interview. So T. Jackson was the principal at Athens. He called, and he wanted to interview us both at the same time. And I thought, I can tell you who's not getting this job, me or Joseph. Oh, yeah, we might as well go there. So we go there and interview. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm the more charming, eloquent, well-spoken. I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you that I got a phone call about the job. And, of course, when you – I don't know if you were this way, but when I was you interview, oh, Jesus, please help me to get this job, blah, so on and so forth. And then once you get called about the job, now you think, oh, I'm not ready. And I let fear take over. And so I turned it down. And they didn't offer it to Joe. I figured they didn't offer him because I didn't take it. He's just like me. But I got a job at Southern Academy. My insurance agent at the time, one of the ladies that worked there, Ms. Watson was her name, Meb Watson. She had a sister, that our sister-in-law that taught at Southern Academy, and they needed a history teacher. So I went down and interviewed, and I taught every history class. I was the only history teacher. I coached, I was a junior high girls basketball head coach, varsity assistant. I was varsity volleyball head coach. I was varsity and middle school, junior high head coach. And I brought home, I hope everybody's seated, $780 a month. And I had a $223 a month car payment, and I had a $200 a month apartment.
Yeah, rent.
Rent. And so I was there for 2 years. My dad passed away in March of my second year at Southern Academy. I was 26. I didn't want to get labeled as and there's nothing wrong with private school. I didn't want to be labeled as a private school teacher because there was no money in it.
Yeah, it was awful.
Terrible. And I thought, I just need to get back home. And so I was able to get a job at Kentucky Finance as a loan officer. And I remember telling the guy, I had to go to Cartersville, Georgia to meet the head man. I said, yeah, I want to be in this for life. I really like it. Well, 3 months later, I took a job at Fayetteville as the ISS teacher. And Mr. Frost was the guy's name at Kentucky Finance. He called, he said, I thought you said you wanted to be in this for life. Life. I said, well, Mr. Frost, only the good die young. And I said, I'm good and I'm done. And so I went to Coach Owens. O.B. Owens was the principal there. He hired me. I was 26. I didn't realize this at the time, but as teachers, when these people say, well, you don't work in the summer, you don't get paid in the summer.
That's correct.
It's a 9-month contract. Now, they divide it by 12 because teachers are poor money managers.
Awful.
And so they do that so you can get a check. So you get
12 months. But you've earned that.
Yes. You've already earned it. Well, the problem with getting hired midway through the year is that
they prorate that over the rest of
is that the calendar year starts in October. So I had January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August before that. I had 8 months
divided by 3 months pay.
Probably, yes.
Or 4 months.
And pay. So I had $223 a month car payment still. And I was making $432, bringing home $432 a month. I was single. I don't know why women weren't flocking to me.
Weren't as charming as you thought.
Yeah, I guess I was. And I was thoughtful for a year and a half. By this time I had met Sonny and my wife, Sonny. She's a math teacher at Hartsel. We were going to East Highland, still are, in fact, at the time. We were going there at the time. And we had a thing before Sunday school where everybody would meet and you would have somebody give a little devotion. Sonny gave a devotion about doors opening and closing and so on and so forth. And she asked that they pray for Paul that a door would open. Well, the next day I got a phone call from a good friend of mine, went to Danville, Barry Kirby. He was in Russell County, about a job at Russell County. I got the job. I went and interviewed, got the job at Russell County, stayed there. About the length of my school days, I think me and Jesus's time in the tomb were very similar. I think it was 3 days. And I can tell you why I left. It's a good story, but we've got to move on. So I up and leave. And I get a phone call from Eddie Lowe. He played football at Alabama. He was assistant superintendent at Russell County at the time, and he said, Mr. Wilson, I hear that we've got a problem. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I want you to know, Lloyd Fry, Dr. Fry, was the principal at Russell County at the time. He said, Dr. Fry wants us to pull your certificate because, you know, if you leave in the middle of the year, you can. And I said, yes, sir, I understand. And he said, you don't want us to do that. I said, oh, no, sir. He said, well, I've got good news. We said, we're not going to. He said, that's not good for you. Obviously, it's not good for us. So he said, if you will agree to come back and finish until we get another teacher, we won't pull your certificate. So I lied to him and told him I would. I went, ain't no way I was going back. And fortunately for me, they got a teacher before I had to go back there. And so I look at this time, biblically speaking, this was when was it Jacob that married? He wanted Leah, he wanted Rachel, and he got Leah.
Yeah.
Okay. This was me getting Leah.
Yeah.
So.
And that happens.
It does. It certainly does. So the next, I had a job at. I'd called Fayetteville to see if they had filled the ISS job. They had. And so I called Danville, and Mr. Owen said, we'll get an ISS. So he called me back and said, we've got an ISS job. So I started at Danville October 1st, 1994. And it was an aides job. And I was an aide for 7 years. My first public school teacher check came when I was 35 years old. I'd been there 7 years. And I when Coach Bowling retired, I got to teach, I think it was one class, and then we had A school. So A school was the teachers. We had the west side. And I always felt like that I had job security as long as the children at Fayetteville and West Morgan would act out their mascot, because West Morgan were rebels and Fayetteville were devils. So if I could have rebels and devils, I had a job. And I did that for 2 or 3 years, and then an opening at Danville came up for full-time teaching and social studies. So I taught 11th and almost exclusively 11th and 12th grade. I had 1 year I had ninth grade, and it was a disaster for the ninth graders and for me. And I was at Danville for 25 years. I hadn't planned on retiring when I did. I had, as you well know, your retirement is based on your best 3 years out of your last 10. Well, by the time what would be my last year at Danville, I had gotten out of coaching girls basketball. I just got burnt out. It's where it helped me realize that coaching, I think teaching too, but definitely coaching is kind of like being a preacher. I don't know if you need to stay in one place a real long time because you get comfortable, you get complacent, and
And you can't.
You can't.
Not be successful.
No. And so I had gotten out of coaching. So that meant that my checks weren't as large as they had been. And as I looked at, you know, you get that every year.
It, yeah, your retirement statement.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to lose that, but I can't lose the next one. And so I was, the plan was for me to teach two more years and then I would retire. Well, to make this long story even longer, Dr. Wilson used to be the superintendent at Hartzell, Vic Wilson. He called me in May of what would be my last year at Danville and said, hey, there's a job I'd like for you to interview for. And he said, it's at Bell Green High School. Like, Bell Green? That's 60 miles from here. So anyway, we talked about it. He knew the superintendent of Franklin County Schools. And he said, if you're not interested, I told him you'd be good for it. But if you weren't interested, because like I scheduled summer basketball, well, you know, I scheduled it at Ardmore. He said, with your contacts, you'll know somebody that would be good that you could point them in their direction. Cause they were going, he said, they're going to have a good team. They want a good coach. And so I went over and interviewed and drove right by Danville and came back about 60 miles one way, which for those that aren't.
Yeah,
sure. It's 60 miles. So I like when somebody says it's 60 miles there and 60 miles back. Why are you announcing that? I mean, it stands to reason. And so anyway, came back and my wife said, how did you do in the interview? I said, I came in second. She goes, what do you mean came in second? Why? I said, because I told the truth. And she goes, what do you mean? I thought, Sonny, I got to explain what the truth is. I said, well, he asked me a question. Everybody said, you know, that's a pretty long way from your house. Yes, sir. You think you can make that drive every day? She said, what'd you tell him? I said, well, I looked at him. I said, I did it today. I said, it's one day. I said, now when it's January 19th and we just lost to Phillips and Billy Jack wants to know why Billy Jack Jr. didn't play as much and it's snowy and it's cold and I don't want to go to Bell Green. I said, I'll tell you this. I won't call you that day and quit. I said, if I take the job, I'll go every day. I said, I may come in crying, but I'll go every day. And so
I may sleep in the office.
Yes, I may sleep in the office. Yes. And so that night it was Wednesday night. And Sonny was going with the kids, the youth group at East Highland. It was in the school year bash. They were going to Buffalo Wild Wings. And she asked if I wanted to go. And I didn't. I said, I'm just going to stay home. And I said, I'm going to think about the job and all. My phone rings and it's Dr. Wilson. And he goes, well, how'd you do an interview? So I told him about that. And he said, well, let me tell you something, big boy, you ain't second, you're first. He said, it's down to you and a guy from a retired college coach from Mississippi. He said, they want you. Well, I'm hanged. Or I said, oh, I'm starting to shake. And he goes, what'd you think? I said, Dr. Wilson, the pay, like, I would have to coach all three sports and I would make less than what I made coaching one sport. Then, and he said, well, how much money do you need? I thought, he said, tell you what, you think about it. He said, me and my wife, we're going out to eat. We'll be back a couple of hours. I'll call you. You give me a number. I'll get it for you. So I hang up the phone and I'm doing this and quoting Jesus wept most of the 23rd Psalm, about all I know.
The ones you're sure of.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to, I got to talk to Sonny. So I'm trying to call Sonny. She won't answer her phone. I'm wanting to cuss, pick up your blanking phone and I'm praying. You can't praying and cussing. I mean, you just should.
Yeah, should.
Shouldn't cuss anytime, but certainly not while you're praying. And so I don't, what am I going to do? Oh, please. I didn't know what to do. So anyway, next day I had to go to Jasper for a basketball event. And I'm down there and I thought, man, if he called, he said, they're going to call you. They're calling you to offer you a job. What am I going to do? I told everybody at Danville I got out because I want to spend more time with Carson and Caroline. I'm 13 miles from Danville. I'm 60 from Bell Green. That just, why? And so anyway, while I was down at Jasper, my phone rang and it was Tommy Kyle. He was at Decatur Heritage. He's calling about a play date and we were talking about that. And he said, what's going on in your life? And I thought, I believe he's pretty close to Jesus. And so I told him what was going on. He said, you want me to pray for you? I said, oh yeah. He said, you want me to pray for you right now? I said, well, I'm in the parking lot at Jasper. I said, fire away. He let out the best prayer I've heard. And it was, excuse me. It was one of these where he starts out with the typical prayer and he goes, Lord, you provide answers for us, but sometimes we can't see them. Whether we're not smart enough, we're scared. He said, I don't know which one Paul is, but he's one of those. So he said, I don't want you to 70% him. I want you to decide. I want you to either make it happen or don't let it happen, but don't put it in his hands. He can't make the decision. And I thought, I don't know if I appreciate all that, but I like that honesty. And so I thanked him, and my phone's never rung.
Huh.
Never rang. Now, I'm taking that story because the next story tells how I got to Clemens. The next week, I saw Ben Campbell at a play date at Fayetteville.
Now, how did you know Ben?
Ben was the head coach at West Limestone when I was at Danville. And Ben is he's a wonderful guy. He's a different bird. Yeah.
Math teacher.
Yeah, he is. He's a great guy, though.
Yeah.
Somewhat similar to Jordan Paul. You know Jordan Paul?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, Ben Campbell, in my opinion, when you think of people with IQs and education, he's on the top 10 list in my book. Now, he's really he's really sharp. Now, getting to that, you know, takes sometimes it's a long journey.
Yeah, yes.
But he's he really and very cerebral.
Yeah, he is. He definitely, if there's a stereotype of math people,
he
fits.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
Yes,
I mean, it's not, he's not making it up.
Yes, he's good.
He's not like I was.
he's good.
He knows it.
But he came in with Clements. They were in a small gym at Fayetteville, and I said, "Hey, are you going to coach Clements?" Because Zach Meadows had been the coach. Love Zach, and he told me he was getting out of it. I hated that. Ben looked at me like I was insane. He goes, are you crazy? He said, no. I said, I'm doing this so they'll have a summer. He said, it's a good group. They need this. But he said, no, I can't. He said, I'm not coaching. I'm assistant principal. I'm not coaching. And he looked at me. He said, you're not retired, are you? I said, no, but I could be. He said, would you be interested? And I said, yeah. Because Clements, when we grew up, we were in the Clements community. My dad was preacher at Riddles Chapel Methodist for 11 years. And all our older brothers and sisters, I've got.
Now I didn't realize that you had ties back to Clements that way. But
yeah, I had.
It's a great community.
Oh, I love it. Just
good people.
And so I'd always wanted to coach at Clements or Danville. And I thought, this would be an opportunity to do both. And so he said, well, we've got conferences. I've got a conference next week. Dr. Newton's got one the following. He said, it'll be about 3 weeks before we get back to you, but he said, I'll call you. And they had just hired Mike Holt as the boys coach, and I knew him from being at Decatur. And so I've called Coach Holt one day. I said, they hadn't called me yet. And he goes, you want me to call? I said, no. I said, if they don't call me, that's fine. They got somebody else. That's okay. I said, I'm perfectly happy at Danville. And so when I hung the phone up, I just said, now, Jesus, I said, you're my boy. And everything. I said, all my life, I've been scared. I've made decisions based off of fear. I said, I'm not telling you what I'm going to do, but I'm telling you, I'm going on faith. And if you want me to not go to Clements, you're going to have to shut the door. Instead of you opening it, you're going to have to shut it. And I said, so if they don't call me, I know you shut that door.
Yeah.
Well, they called, Dr. Newton did, and I got the job at Clements. Loved my time at Clements. I was only there 2 years. The reason that I had left, I eventually left.
It's a haul from Hartsel.
It is, but we had mentioned off camera about the summer pay, and I couldn't do what they were going, not what Clements was asking me to do.
Right.
Clements supported me.
Yeah.
What the county was asking me to do, I just couldn't do it, and I couldn't go on a promise that we'll fix it eventually.
Yeah.
And so I then had an opportunity to go to Eva for half a day, taught PE with she. If she wasn't a saint before, she has to be a saint for dealing with me. Ginger, you know Ginger Butler?
I do not.
Oh, she's a saint. She is a saint trying to deal with me. I went there for 2 years. And when I was there, Tracy Turrentine was the principal. Of course, she's now the superintendent of Morgan County. And she told me the day I got there, she said, one day this job's going to be cut. She said, we're one unit over, and I've got two half-time teachers. So I was there for 2 years, and it got cut.
Now, were you there contract or?
Yeah, I was contract. Yeah. I was contract 2 years, and so this is my second year completely out.
Yeah. What a good long introduction.
Yeah,
what
did though?
So this is normally when I would do story time, but I think you covered story time
probably. So, yeah, and I've got some good ones with to answer these questions with.
So we'll start here, and I'll come back and we'll get started with the interview.
Okay.
And we're back, and I'm gonna go through the long form interview questions. What's the most memorable moment when a student made you laugh, and how did that moment change your teaching?
Okay, I got to give you two.
Fire away.
there's one from Danville, and there's now the one from Danville was not funny at the moment.
Most of them aren't,
but it became quite hilarious. And then the one at Clements was pretty funny at the beginning. When I taught at Danville, I'd have a lot of rules, and then I went to this seminar, and a guy said, "You should only have two rules: be where you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do. If they can't follow those rules, they can't follow 37. And he said, "You got to remember, if you give them 37 rules and they follow 36, what are they? They're a rule breaker. So give them two." So anyway, I've been going over those. And eventually, in the first few days of school, you're going to have somebody that tests you that you just are. And I had a young man, I think his last name was Kilpatrick. He was doing something in class that I did not like. And I always liked to follow the Sun Tzu.
Rules of war
theory. Yes, the first person who does something wrong, kill them. You have to be overboard with your punishment, so that nobody. Well, if he killed him for that, I'm not doing anything. And so I would go on a tirade, just a rant, and just talk. And as you well know, I can talk with the best of them. So he did something, and I was going, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of it. If I always put in there, and if you don't like it, you can just get out. They had never gotten up before. He very quietly, very respectfully,
yeah,
picked his books up
and he's out of here.
It was like I was Miss Smith and he was me. He got up and I thought, holy cow, he's walking out. He opened the door. He didn't slam the door. He didn't cuss. He closed the door.
Said I could leave.
And I thought, okay, he's standing outside. So I'm looking at the kids. Kids are looking at me. I said, excuse me for a minute. I opened the door. Now, if you've ever been at Danville, Danville is just one long hallway.
4 miles.
I'm looking, I thought, I don't see him. I look left, I look right, I don't see him. Okay, so he's going to the bathroom. So I'm thinking, okay, just overcome your fears, because I don't go in a public restroom. If you see me going in a public restroom, don't ask me how my day's going. So I go in and he's not there. I go to the office, he's not there. And I look outside and I see him closing his car door and he's leaving. So I go knock on Mr. Cooey's door and I said, Mr. Cooey, I got kind of a problem. So I told him what happened. And he sort of grinned and he goes, "Do you know his mama?" I said, "No." He said, "You know his sister?" I said, "Oh yeah, I taught his sister." He said, "His mama is mean enough to whip me and you." I thought, well, if she can whip Mr. Cooey. And he goes, "All I can say is," he said, "You didn't do anything wrong." He said, "All I can say is we better hope she's on our side when they get up here." And fortunately she was. And she got home to him. But what I learned from that is don't ever
give them the option.
Yeah, don't give them an ultimatum. Don't give an, or they'll RLS you every single time.
That's right.
Now, the funny one, I was at Clements. I had just gotten the girls' basketball job. And I was going to be a, it's not remediation, what they call that? It's where I got kids, they weren't bad kids. They had missed a lot of days, got behind in their work. So they would come to me during PE or a
academic
core period. Class, yeah. Yes. And they might come 3 days a week, they might come 1 day a week. They get on and they did that. I think it was Ed Minim. I believe that was the one that they used. And I just oversaw. I didn't teach them. I just helped them if they needed to be helped. And so I was over there and the girls were at volleyball, but they just got through volleyball practice. And Ben Campbell said, "I want you to I want you to meet the girls. So we go over there, and whenever I meet people, I'm a very shy person.
I can tell.
My first grade teacher wrote, needs to talk more on the report card.
But you made up for it.
Yeah, I did. But it's awkward for me. Because I imagine everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And so I'm meeting them, and they're telling me who they are. Well, we get to Janiyah Anderson. Well, I had coached against her older sister. She'd played Clements when I was at Danville. Lily is her name. And so Lily was really good. And I said, hey, I coached against your sister, Lily. And she goes, I'm not as good as Lily. I said, whoa, hold it. I said, yeah, you are. I said, you're better. I said, you're going to be like that Disney song. I said, your mom and dad saved the best for last. And I said, oh, what was her name? And I said, her last name was Williams. I said, what was her name? And I said, Vanessa Williams. And Allie Ruth Black, do you know Jason Black?
I know Jason, but I don't know which kids.
Allie is, she's great. Allie Ruth goes, Janiyah, the tennis player. I looked at Allie Ruth, I said, Allie Ruth, you idiot. I said, that's Venus Williams, not Vanessa. That's what Vanessa Williams sang all her life. She was in a beauty pack. Anyway, I just thought that she was trying to help, but she did not. But anyway, those were two funny moments.
So if you could give your younger teacher self one piece of advice, what was it? What would it be? And then why would you give that advice?
Now, when I looked at this question, I tend to overthink. And so I was trying to think, is this like something that I did as a young teacher that if I could go back, I would change it? Or is it advice that I would give young teachers? I chose, because I think I'm perfect. But I don't want to die on a cross, so I'm really not perfect. Yeah. I chose, if I could tell young teachers, because I see a lot, especially substitute teachers, and you know, you see a lot of kids going through school that will sub, and I always would try to tell them, you can't take what kids do personal.
You can, but it's going to lead to heartache.
But you won't last.
Yeah.
And when they're misbehaving, when they're not listening, it's not you. I'm not saying it's them, but this would be going on no matter who was in the classroom. And so you have to, I would say, don't let yesterday defeat you today. That would be what I would, that's great advice.
That is absolutely. What's the craziest thing that you've ever done to keep your students engaged, and did it work?
Okay, this is the only thing I could think of, and I don't know if it's crazy. To me, crazy. I used to tell our kids, "Here's what normal is. Normal is all the crazy divided by the number of crazies, and that's normal because nobody's normal." I mean, it's like if you make a 78 in class, did you get a 78 on any test? Probably not. You got above or below. So it's taking the abnormal and dividing it to make a normal. So
never heard it described that way.
Well, that's, so what I would say, the thing that I did that I don't know of another teacher that did this at Danville. I got tired of either feeling like you've got to either dumb it down or you got to bore the achievers. So I decided that they would contract for a grade, and we did, lesson units. And I would give them a contract where they did this, they got an A, and it was A or F. It wasn't B. And if you wanted a B, you didn't have to do some of the homework that the A. And if you wanted a C, you didn't have to do. And so I did that. And I will tell you two things about it. It is the best way to do your class, and you won't do it but a few weeks because it'll drive you crazy, because it's literally individualized education, which is great for the individual. It is horrible for the teacher. But I did that, and because I wanted them to pay attention, because if you've got a kid that's failing, why are they going to listen if they fail? If you can give them a chance, and somebody said, well, why are you giving them a chance at a C? Oh, no. I'm giving them a chance. They're going to earn whatever they get.
Yeah, you're giving them a chance for success.
Yes. And so that was what I would say, but it worked, and I liked it, but it was a lot of work.
So So in the modern curriculum and the modern teacher speak, they call that giving student voice.
Yes.
So you know who knew that you were a pioneer?
Yeah, I was a pioneer. Yeah. Yes, who knew?
How do you personally stay motivated on those days when nothing seems to go right?
You have to remember that today is a battle and you're in it for the war. You don't win every battle. I used to tell our kids, yesterday is who you were. Today is who you are. And tomorrow is what you can be. You don't ever let who you were keep you from being who you are, and never let who you are keep you from being what you want to be. So you have to take defeat is never final.
Yeah. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn.
Yes. And so you have to just take every day, because it doesn't change. Today doesn't change what your goal should be or your focus should be tomorrow. You should be the best that you can be. And today should not keep you from doing that.
Now, I know you've had a lot of these, but tell just one success story where, you know, the kid's outcome reminded you why you became a teacher.
Okay, man, I've got, there's two, but I'm going to, I like the athletic one, but it's a long story.
Oh, I have nothing but time.
Well, I'm gonna give you two.
All right.
Okay. Danville, I did for in our economics class, and when I say this, I don't say it to say that I knew more, but when you look at the economics curriculum and you're at Danville, Westmore, at any school, what you were going to teach them, 90% of it is stuff they'll never, ever use. And they never hear about daily financial advice. And so I decided when Dave Ramsey, my wife and I took the Dave Ramsey class, and I said, I'm going to teach this at school. And he has a school curriculum that basically, I mean, if you have God in you, you can't take God out. And so, but it's not religious based.
Right.
And so the first year, 2 years we did this, I bought the books and I gave them to the kids. And I told them, I said, now we're going to follow I'm going to expose you to the course of study. I'm going to infect you with personal finance. So we would do on Mondays, they would get a vocab sheet or a worksheet that would be what that chapter we were supposed to be on. And then we would watch the Dave Ramsey videos and we would do the Dave Ramsey work. And so there's have you ever seen the video that he has where you can pay cash for your car? Never do anything but pay cash for your car. And it talks about how you can save your money and trade your car in and get if you've got a $5,000 car and you want a new car, you say your car payment is going to be $300 a month. You save that $300 a month for a year, put it in your account. It's $3,600. You take your car, you trade it in, you get you a $9,000 car. Anyway, and in 6, 7, 8 years, you're walking out with a $25,000 paid for car. So we went over that video, and the day of graduation, I can't remember the girl's name. And when I say this, I'm not meaning it to put her down. She's a girl that more than likely was going to have a rough life. She just came from a rough family. She wasn't going to go to college. She's probably going to get a job, get married a couple of times. And she came to me and she said, hey, coach, you remember that Dave Ramsey class you taught? I thought, well, yeah, I'm familiar with it. She said, I just want to tell you thank you. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, when we got to the part about the car, she said, I had this old car and I thought there was a car I always wanted. And I thought, if I save my money, I think I can get that car. So she said, I was saving my money. And she said, today I was able to go and get, the car was like 8 or 9 years old. I forget what it was. And it was a Ford. And she said, I was able to get that car. And I said, well, you know, you save your money up in 2 years, you can get it back. She goes, no. It's the car I always wanted. And I didn't know how I would ever get it. And she said, because of you and Dave Ramsey, I know I can, and I'll never do anything but pay cash for a car. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that meant way more to me
than
anything.
And we do public school, public education in general, and I'm not every district I was in, at every level that I was in, we do a terrible job of teaching that exact skill.
Right.
I mean, we just do a bad job. It's not a requirement, therefore we don't do it or don't lean into it.
Well, and
so good on you for making sure that, you know, you knew what kids taught, what kids needed, not what they were required.
And I found out through looking at it that I wasn't even supposed to, it was supposed to be taught by the family and consumer science teacher. I'm thinking,
but it wouldn't.
Why is she have, or he or she having, they've got all the other things. This should be in economics. Now the one at Clements, it deals with sports because again, that's,
That's what you did there.
Clements had really struggled in athletics. In girls basketball, they'd had a hard time. They're always in a, they're always with Lauderdale County's tough area. And so in my first year, well, we won our first game. I thought, you are a genius. You always knew you were. Now these people are getting to see just how smart and good looking you are. You better hold that wedding ring up because them single women.
Yeah.
And so.
That thing about pride.
It goeth before fall. Well, we had played our first four games on the road and we were 2-2. Everything was great. We had East Limestone on a Monday, Tanner on a Tuesday. And Tanner was not nearly as, supposed to be nearly as good as they've been being. So we played East Limestone halftime. They were killing us. They beat us like 57-15. That's okay. You got Tanner. You just got to keep the girls pumped, so on and so forth. Nobody in the crowd say anything negative to me. And so I go and talk to the girls about, hey, you know, tomorrow we got a real chance. And, you know, they're the best team in the county. I go home, I throw those on. I said, it won't be any worse than what it was tonight. I know it won't. So we play Tanner, and at halftime, Tanner is ahead. I think it was 37-6. It was way worse. Go in. At the end of the game, we lose 61-17 at Clements. I walk, get up off the bench, go by Mr. Campbell, and I looked at him. I said, you hired the wrong man. And he looked at me. He goes, shut up. He said, did this ever happen to you at Danville? He said, it couldn't happen much. I said, it happened one time. You remember what you told him? I said, yes. He goes, did you cuss? And I said, no. He said, well, you can't cuss in there. He said, but he said, just tell you. He said, tell them what you told him, Danville. I said, okay. He said, then come back. We'll talk. He said, but you're stupid for saying that. I said, well, thank you, Mr. Campbell. So I go in and talk to the kids. And I come out. He goes, why did you say? I said, Ben, we just lost to Tanner by 44. And I said, and here's another thing. Not one person behind me called me an idiot. I said, they should be calling me. They should be cussing me. He said, I'm going to tell you why they didn't call you an idiot. He said, because they know that you love their kids. And he said, that's all. They said, that's what they want right now. They want you to love. He said, yeah, they're going to get mad. Yeah. But they know you care. He said, their kids have told them you care. So fast forward, we're playing Lauderdale County at Lauderdale County. We're down 6. I'm thinking about how smart I am. We get beat by 42. We have Tanner the next night. I walk in the locker room. I said, you know, girls, some point in time, I said, Bear Bryant said, coaches win and lose close games. Players are responsible for blowouts. And I said, when are y'all going to get tired of being kicked by everybody? You got to say, I don't know how we're going to stop it. When are we going to stop it? We're going to stop it. I said, tomorrow we're going to a gym where the team came to your place and beat you 44. And so before every game, I would give them some kind of emotional pep talk. I thought, I'm not giving one tonight. So I told them in that locker room, I told them, I don't know what to tell you other than this. Believe in yourself. And I said, if you'll believe in yourself, believe in your teammates. I said, don't believe in yourself, believe in your teammates. And I said, here's why I want you to do that. So I've always told you to believe in yourself. I said, if you believe in yourself, you may be the only one believing in yourself. I said, but if you believe in your teammates, you know that when you walk on that floor, there's 9 others that are believing in you. And I said, we'll win a game one day just by belief. I don't know what it'll be, but if you can do it, we'll do it. Tanner out-rebounded us by 30. Tanner shot more free throws than we did, and we had one more turnover than Tanner did. And we never trailed in the second half of that ball game. We beat Tanner at Tanner. Ansley Gordon hit 2 free throws with 11 seconds left to win the game. Now, I told you that story to tell you this, because I didn't tell you the whole Clements after the Tanner game. After the Tanner game at Clements, I came home, told my wife, I said, I'm not going back to Clements. She said, "You're not going to go back next year?" I said, "No, I'm not going back tomorrow." She said, "Yeah, you are." I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "Yes, you are." I said, I told her what happened. I said, "They can't." I said, "They have to hate me." By the time my phone beeped, and it was from Ansley Gordon. And she sent me a text about that long. I still got on my phone about how they know I'm down, but they believe in me. They believe in what we're doing, and things are going to be better. They know they are, and they're excited for the year. And then 6 weeks later, Ansley was the one that made the free throws that won the ball game.
Yeah.
So.
And it, and then all of a sudden, it's all worth it.
Yes, it's definitely all worth it.
So what's the funniest misunderstanding or miscommunication that you ever had with a student?
Okay, this involves a group of students. I would ask a lot of questions in class. And as you probably know, you get a lot of this.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, how am I? I've got to figure out some way, a little clever way to get them to know the answer. So what I would always do, let's just say that the answer was Danville. I'd say it starts with D and ends in Anvil. And then they cut in Danville and they answer the question. So we're talking about voting, which is kind of ironic because, you know, today we vote. And I said, "Can aliens vote in elections?" Well, a kid, let me say yes or no.
If you, you want a better answer, you got to ask a better question.
So hand shoots up and the kid goes, "No." Well, when the kid said no, before I could say anything, it was like pause for a second. This other kid's hand shot up and I said, "This is a teachable moment. Because I know what that kid's fixing to say." What's that kid fixing to say? That kid's fixing to say yes. Okay. Neither one of them knows the answer. Because he said no. And so kid raised, I said, "Hang on." I said, "I know why you raised your hand." I said, "You're fixing to tell me the answer. Your answer is yes." And he goes, "Yes, sir." I said, "You're both wrong." "How can we both be wrong?" I said, "I'm fixing to tell you, you both be wrong." I said, "Because in regards to aliens voting, non-citizens voting, the Constitution is," and they didn't, it was silent, which is the word I wanted. So I went, "The Constitution is," I said, "Come on, idiots." And I said, "I'm getting a lot of it right now." Nobody said, I thought, my word, have I got to spell it out? So I said, "Okay, it starts with S and I don't get near enough of it in the classroom." This kid shot his hand and goes, "Is it sex? Because I don't get enough either." And I turn, of course, they just bust out laughing. I turn 8 shades of red. One of all the answers I could have given, I mean, it was silent. I said, "No, moron, it's
I'm glad
silent.
You didn't. I'm glad you didn't do it. Starts with S and ends with T." Yeah. Oh, wow. How do you inspire students who are struggling both academically and personally?
I think number one, you have to give them your own. You can. From your own personal experience, there's not people who have never failed. If they are, that's because they've never tried. It's kind of like you coach, you were a principal. All the ones that had the answers never did it. So to me, you can give them a time in your life when you were struggling and what you did and how you overcame that. And you also, it goes back to what I said about what you are right now. This is not your destination. This is a town you're passing through. And I like I told my Clements kids, I used to say, we want to be great. And at Clements, I said, no, we don't want to be, we want to be, you go for greater, because great's a destination. You can get to great, but greater, you can be greater every single day. And you can always be there, but you can never stay. You've always got to keep doing. And so I would just tell them that where you are right now, if you feel like you're in mud, don't be a pig. Pigs wallow in mud. Dogs get up and shake
it off
and they go. So you've got to just keep perseverance. Anybody that's been great at anything has persevered, and perseverance is going. It's one more step. It's not because you want to.
The next one.
It's the next step.
Just the next one.
Yep.
If teaching, this is my favorite question. If teaching were a superhero job, what would your superpower be? And then how would you use it, or how did you use it in the classroom?
Okay. Now, this is a pitiful answer. Okay. I think what as far as, and I could give you a real touching answer and all, but to me, it's what I did in the classroom that I thought was really neat is I was able to take random, ordinary things and tie them together. And the kids, we call it, my best example, my superpower would be to take random things and turn something significant, I guess, or unusual or funny about them. We called it fun with numbers. I was big on Kahoot and those types for review. And when you use, there was Quizlet and then there was Kahoot. And I think Quizlet was the one that had a number code that you had to type in. And so I would look at the numbers and I would find something that they never would think about. And it would help them laugh. Because some kids, you had kids that didn't care about the review. And you had kids that were nervous. They wanted to do well on the review. And so just for example, let's just say that the code was 4672. I'd be up there and say, your code is 4672. And I'd go, you're not going to, I said, y'all aren't going to believe what this, you're not going to believe this. I said, do you realize if you take the two inside numbers, the six and the seven, and you multiply them, you get the two outside numbers. And they would just go, wow. And I would do that because it became, they enjoyed the fun with numbers as more than they did the review. Because it would be like, you know, if it was 7854, well, okay, how are you going to get that to work? And I'd sit there and it would take me a minute, but I could, I say, okay, here you go, 7854. You take five and subtract four from it, you get one. If you take seven and if you take eight and subtract seven from it, you get, and of course, they would be, and I'm thinking, come on, you numbskulls, it's not that hard. But I think that my superpower would be to take something ordinary and make it meaningful.
Well, I do thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down with me this morning. Again, thank you for your service to the kids of Danville and Clements and everywhere else you've been, and for sharing your stories today, just so that, you know, they don't get forgotten.
Well, I do appreciate the chance to. I got to ask, was this the longest one you've ever
so far? and it may be two episodes by the time it's said and done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. But it's one of those that you don't want to miss. I guarantee you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teacher Tales. If you are inspired, motivated, or just had a good laugh, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you know a good teacher who has a story to tell, I'd love to hear from them. Send me an email at motivatedinspiration@gmail.com with your suggestion. Remember, whether you're in the classroom, at home, or out in the world, keep spreading the joy of learning. Until next time, keep those stories alive.